Good morning, New Mexico, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company on Cordova Road and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We are podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show anytime you want to listen, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services, and you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. Later in the program, Robert Knott is going to be with us speaking of the arts, and Linda Siegel will be joining us for the legislative update. We continue right now with our coverage of the African Effect Film Festival at the CCA. I'd like to welcome Dr. Atema Eklai. She is Director of Programs at the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee, and she's worked with many groups of African women across tribal conflict lines, kept children from going to war, and she's been fighting against female genital mutilation and wartime atrocities. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much.
And joining us by telephone, William Saw, Bill Saw. He's co-director of Everyday Gandhis. He works in West Africa with local groups and traditional healers to support the reviving of indigenous cultural practices. Welcome, Bill.
Thank you very much.
And they will be teaching a workshop during the African Effect Film Festival, Lessons from Africa, Truth, Reconciliation, and Forgiveness, on Saturday, February 7th from 10 to 1 as part of the film festival at the CCA in Santa Fe. And they will be presenting and holding discussions on various films during the festival, which runs from today through the 12th of February. So I watched a couple of the films about Liberia in the African Effect, Pray the Devil Back to Hell and Iron Ladies of Liberia, and I was really struck by the incredible power of women. I was wondering, Atema, if you could tell us about the Liberian women's resistance movement that actually ended the Liberian Civil War.
Women in Africa are very, very strong, as you saw in that film. And they were tired. They were exhausted of the war. And they decided that if they themselves divided themselves according to religious lines, ethnic lines, this war won't end. They were tired of it. They were suffering from it. They were being raped. Their children were being killed. Their children were being taken to war. And so they decided to actually bond together, Muslims, Christian, atheist women together, to tell their husbands, we won't take this anymore. And that is how it started. Not only in Liberia, but in many countries of Africa, women do that.
There's a Greek play called Lysistrata, ancient Greek play, in which the women decide that they're going to go on strike and not have sex with their husbands until the war ends. These women actually did that.
Oh, yes. And many women in Africa do that. One of the things that you can negotiate on is around sleeping with your spouse. And so if men are deciding to create war and put you under so much stress, what else can you withhold other than the power you have? The power of having sex with your husband. And these women decided to do that because they said, if you are really enjoying war so much, then how can you... War and sex don't go together. It is called rape. So you are raping us as you are raping our country. So they did that.
And that actually worked. And they also did other things, just sitting in and putting their bodies in certain places where they really made a difference politically. Tell us about some of those actions.
Yes. You know, one of the things that is very good is when you put yourself together in a group, you become not just one woman, but you become one big woman's body. And they used that strategy to say, you know what, we are going to sit together. We are going to be here as one body of women suffering from this war, and you're going to see us as one. And we want unity, we want peace. We want to show you that by sitting here, whatever you do to us, if we die, if you killed us, we will have died in order to get peace for our children in the future. And so they used that strategy to do that.
So after and they were successful, and anybody who's listening can watch this film, Pray the Devil Back to Hell, and see much more about this. But then after the war was ended and the peace was beginning, they didn't just go home and go back about their business. They actually watched the transitional government. What was their role then in seeing things, how things developed?
You know, one of the things is they knew that the government had failed them. At this time, they were going to be proactive participants and hold their government accountable. so that the government keeps to this peace that they had signed into process. Because without that accountability, this peace wasn't going to happen. They also looked at themselves and found out that who is the person who is going to be our ally in government. This corrupt government, this government that goes to war, cannot really help us. So we need to participate fully in order to select those who are going to lead us. And we need to hold them accountable, but also support them. And so they, women, really brought Ellen Sirleaf Johnson into power.
And so she is now the president of Liberia, and the film that's called Iron Ladies of Liberia, which is screening at the African Effect Film Festival here in Santa Fe, documents her first year in office. You've actually worked with her.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
In 1998 and 99, I was the chief facilitator of Inclusive Security Women Waging Peace at the Kennedy School of Government and Hand Alternatives, which was started by Ambassador Swanee Hunt, who saw the atrocities that were happening in Yugoslavia and Kosovo, and wondered and saw how women were doing, just leading peace. And so Ellen was one of the women who came to those meetings. We brought together around that time, around 300 women leaders who, after post-war, wanted to really set their countries on a different path. And so I worked with her during that time. And in those groups, I really saw Ellen, even before she chose to campaign to become the president, I saw her as a leader. I remember mentioning to her that in future I can see you as the future president of Liberia, and she just laughed it off. But now here she is.
And doing an amazing job.
Yes, yeah. Building a country that had been offline, as I say, fighting for a very long time, it takes a struggle. But she is doing her level best. And not only alone, with the women and male allies are supporting her to do this. She's facing challenges, but she's really facing them with courage.
Bill Saw, you are the co-director of a group called Everyday Gandhis, and that's a peace-building group. Tell us what you do and how you work.
What we're doing is, in the peace-building field, as conflicts have become more complex, that's how also it's become so more complex in finding ways of building more sustainable peace. We have what we refer to as conventional peacemaking, and then another terminology, traditional peacemaking. So I guess all of these are very important in the peace-building field, but at Everyday Gandhis, our focus is on traditional peacemaking. What that means has to do with working with grassroots people, working around their traditions, helping to tap in the customs and norms and traditions they understand in bringing about peace, unlike conventional ways that we take to communities and say, sit in the workshop setting. Here are all the theories about peace building, especially mostly people who are normally not fully so educated to understand all these terminologies, but who are grounded in their own norms. That's the kind of work we're doing right now, complementing the conventional ways that are supporting peace building in the world, but working with very grassroots people who many times their faces are not seen, their voices are not heard, but people who are working very much to help contribute to peace building in communities that are very shattered, particularly right now in Liberia.
When you talk about peace, I think a lot of us think about peace in terms of the absence of war. What is a fuller way to think about peace when you're talking about peace building?
Well, peace building itself is a term that has been coined recently, and that's why it's referred to as peace building. Peace building has to do with a process, a sustained process of not only having peace, which you just talked about, but trying to sustain that process. Therefore, peace building has to do with working first of all, like in the situation in Liberia, where our country has been so shattered and devastated, trying to bring people back to themselves, trying to help them to begin to think about how they can live in harmony with each other again, but also trying to work around systems that are put in place to work for the new terminology that is now being referred to as conflict prevention. So that's the whole concept about peace building.
You support traditional cultural practices. What are some of these practices?
Oh, one fascinating practice that really amazes me every time, and I think this is not only for the kind of work we have done in Liberia, but even the great United States, all over the world, is a practice that is done in my own tradition where, for instance, if one person dies in a community everywhere, part of the world, whatever way we do it, but there is a way we commemorate that death in which the community comes together to do a kind of feast or whatever we call it, but to honor the dead. And in that, we understand that in honoring the dead, we're helping the dead person to go, what we call in the traditional sense, to cross the river. And in that sense, it's understood in our tradition that it is when people who die are actually going to rest in peace. So a country like Liberia, in which 350,000 lives were shattered just within the span of our civil war, before the war in Liberia, when one person died in the community, the entire community comes together, and that's the traditional ways in which they commemorate that death. It's not only commemorating the death for the person to be sent across the river to rest in peace, but it's also during that moment that the community understands that all existing conflicts within their realms are brought to the light, in which elders and the entire community members sit together and to talk about the conflicts amongst and between families and communities, agree upon ways of understanding that these conflicts are resolved, in which they celebrate that by eating together in what we call common bowl of feasting, and also celebrating that. But also traditionally it's understood that when it's understood that the conflict has been resolved, then these same conflicts, as the dead are being commemorated by being sent across the river to rest, these conflicts go along with the dead to also rest in peace. And once that happens, the community re-experiences that sense of harmony again, and they begin to work together in threat on the common cause to redevelop their communities. This is exactly one area that we have worked so much in Liberia, supporting traditional mourning feasts, especially where in Liberia almost all communities have been devastated. Several persons died. People are yearning for these ceremonies, but because they're so shattered and devastated themselves, they lack the possibilities to do this. So we simply went and tapped into little things, like getting a cow, getting some little bags of rice, calling the community together. And it's so much of a strong norm in the community that once the community hears about this and they understand that they are part of the process, you can bring an entire community into a ceremony of that nature. And this has helped really to really awaken communities that have quite recently been so devastated and in real big conflict to come together, to begin to discuss their conflicts, and to begin to find ways for reconciliation. That's just one example of what we're talking about, traditional peacemaking.
I think this is particularly difficult, and I watched this movie called As We Forgive, which is about the time after the Rwandan genocide, but it's probably applicable to these ideas are applicable to a lot of places. I mean, how do you work with the men and even the children, child soldiers, who do unspeakable things during time of war? The process of forgiveness is not easy, and the process of those people coming to terms with what they did is very difficult.
Exactly. So we come again back to the terminology of peace building. So because this is a process, the activity I just mentioned to you, that ceremony, is so important, a ceremony that creates the space, that brings the community together to begin to hold together again. But that does not mean that entirely what we speak about, forgiveness and reconciliation, has taken place. A reconciliation is also a process that people get into. What we found in Liberia is that these ceremonies that we are doing begins a long process of reconciliation, and it's very good you brought that in. So now what we did, example, clearly in North Invonyama where we're working, by this ceremony we were able to bring together an entire community that began to find way to coexist again. And in the process of that, of course, they have talked about their differences and they had given in to say we will move ahead. But then comes in the issues about ex-fighters, like you rightly mentioned, women who were seriously offended during the war. At the moment, we are running a mentoring project out of as an outcome of the community ceremony that we did, in which we are now working with ex-fighters who the community felt that it needs to go a little bit deeper in terms of really getting them more reintegrated into the community. So by the space that we have created, the community have helped us to see also, and that is when it becomes more community grounded and saying, well, these guys, even though we are in the process to reconciling with them, we can now sit together to talk, but we still understand that they committed so many serious offenses during the war, not only for what they did to us, but even for themselves. Traditionally in our society, they need what we call cleansing. And therefore, the community takes an initiative towards those who committed the act in this process by helping them to go undergo cleansing ceremonies. And this is also a very mutual thing that helps to enhance the reconciliation process, because when the community knows that these ex-fighters are willing to take part in the cleansing, the community understand that they are being cleansed, and that paves a greater way for the for the community to accept them. Also, it's a reciprocal thing. The community also, because of the space that we have also created, begins to rethink into the past atrocities committed. And for example, just a very simple example, the communities also say, okay, yes, these guys have been cleansed now, but during the war, they kept us hungry, and they really kept us hanging in there in danger for a very long time. So now, how can they work to help us see that they're ready to move forward? So we have engaged into what we call permaculture projects in the community, in which these ex-combatants are very much involved helping with food production. And suddenly the community says, oh, yes, now we see. Now they are beginning to help to produce food within the community. That means that for the hunger they kept us during the war, they are now trying to repay that through the food production. So this is how reconciliation goes. It's indeed a process that has a lot of integrated parts, but the ceremony itself kicks the way up and opens the space for the process to continue.
We're talking to Bill Saw of Everyday Gandhis and Dr. Atema Eklai from the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee. Atema, one of the impressions I get from watching these films is that there's a great deal of resilience in the people of Liberia, in the people of Rwanda. And I wondered, what are the cultural factors that make for this resilience, the ability to actually come back after atrocities that I think would probably send a lot of Americans into permanent long-term depression?
Africa is set up as we are a community. And we go with the philosophy that I am because we are, and because we are, I am. So when one of us makes a mistake, we have made that mistake too. We ask ourselves, how did I not support that child who went around with the gun? How did I not support that husband who went out? How did I participate in this atrocity myself or as a member of this community? Coming from that communal sense, the way we question ourselves as participants, we also need to participate in bringing the community together. Two, especially for women, war is acted on them. They are the ones who lose spouses, who lose children, who are raped, who are sent into refugee camps because most of the men die or they are in war. So because they see that it affects them that highly. They have us taken it in order to bring peace. And what women do, it's not just extra work after women, after men go to war. We are calling also by our actions to bring women on the table before war is waged, because war is planned. The job of women is not to put the country together after the war has been waged. So we want to be at the table when the war is made. Maybe the decision would be different. The decision would be to solve the conflicts that are interstate, intranational, differently than waging a war with guns, instruments that we didn't create. So that is how we go into it as women. We have us taken it. We are the ones who lose the most. And we want our communities to be peaceful in order for our children to thrive.
Is there anything in African forms of spiritual practice that help women be as strong as they are?
We have a lot of African religions that have women as heads. Women are the ones who name children. Christianity came in many of the countries of Africa and then gave the naming of children to men. So as you name a child, like if it is a daughter, you say all the rivers will flow into this village because a girl has been born here. And we wail 5 times. And if it is a boy, we wail 3 times and we say the rivers will flow because a boy has been born here. So we participate in giving birth not only of that child, but we give birth to that nation. We are the people who carry the community. We bear the community. And those things that we do around the naming, the power that a woman has in society as a leader, as a village elder, makes us own that leadership. But what really removed women from the leadership is the colonial systems, which then put men and young boys into leadership and forgot the leadership of women. My husband, for example, if I'm in Africa, would not sell a cow from my home before I gave him permission. It is not his cow, it is my cow. You know, he may not make decisions around the home without asking me. When it comes to other systems, then the colonial systems gave man the power. And that is where we started, our society started falling apart. But we are starting to reclaim those powers that we had in the past. And we are doing that so well. Even the UN has recognized that.
Dr. Atema Eklai is Director of Programs at the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee and has worked with women across all across Africa and has fought against female genital mutilation, wartime atrocities. And Bill Saw is the co-director of Everyday Gandhis, which is on the web at everydaygandhis.org. It's a wonderful website. And he works with local groups and traditional healers. And they will both be here in Santa Fe. Atema is here right now in the Santa Fe Baking Company. And they will be giving a workshop on Saturday, February 11th, called Lessons from Africa, Truth, Reconciliation, and Forgiveness. And they will be talking about and presenting a number of the films during the African Effect Film Festival. You can find out more about the African Effect Film Festival by going to ccasantafe.org, calling 982-1338, or just stopping by the Center for Contemporary Arts in Santa Fe. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
We're going to take a little break right now, and we'll be right back with Robert Nodden, Speaking of the Arts. Please stay tuned to KSFR.